106 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along. Good to talk to our buddy Jeff Poor. Read his work in Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and of course, host of the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville that he broadcasts from his richly appointed home studio where he's talking to us from this morning. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Sean. Now I got some foam up on the walls. It feels like a radio studio.
Except it would be clean, right?
That is true, at least compared to the radio studios that I've had the fortune of being in the last probably 10 years.
Yeah, I'd say we're kind of top of the pack here, but that's not saying much, you know. It's like
I will say that the FM Talk 106.5 studios are the Taj Mahal compared to WVNN in Huntsville, Alabama.
We try to keep things straight around here. Hey, you want to talk about that too? Just a side note. So you're doing your show from your house. You have that home studio, but officially, y'all are not coming into studio, right, at your station.
Yes, so obviously WVNN, a Cumulus station, they're encouraging people to stay home when possible. Well, I've always had kind of the thing with the technology here to do this, but I guess to limit the spread, they are telling, you know, just it's in a big company like that, especially where you have clusters of stations all over the country, in particular, you know, places like New York City where the thing is spread, they have a taking the kind of the one-size-fits-all approach and just to stay home if at all possible.
Well, because I'm thinking about the luxury of the technology. So you're essentially telecommuting like a lot of people can with their jobs. They can work from home, work online. But as I've been talking about for weeks now, there's a lot of Americans that can't. And we've seen it in people in the restaurant, the hospitality business, a lot of people that have cashier jobs. I mean, they're in situations where they interact with people to make a check. And those are the people I've been most worried about. Last night, what was decided on by the Senate, is it going to help those people?
Yeah, I think so. Just it's going to be a matter of timing. The idea here is to build a bridge thinking that this is going to pass, right?
Yep.
And that, you know, let's do what we can, build that bridge, and then with the hope, and it may be kind of a long shot, but hopefully, you know, this will just kind of be the patchwork you need to fill that hole between now and then. I look at this, though. I had Senator Doug Jones on the program yesterday. He insists to me that there's going to be multiple tranches here, that they're going to have to go back to the well again on aid once we get through this patch, because he doesn't really know the timeline, but he thinks it's coming for sure.
Okay, so, and yes, they can have add-ons. I mean, that was one of the things yesterday we talked about, that with all the disagreement and all the showmanship and brinksmanship that was going on, you know, a call from the American people say, hey, figure out the things that you agree on, Democrats and Republicans, and get that through, and then you can come back and take another bite at the apple. But there are people that are unemployed now, their paycheck's not coming, and there's real issues for real Americans out there, and there's the taking care of the people angle of it too, but there's also this, I mean, it's Keynesian, right? It's Keynesian economics. They're going to flood this money into the market, and it's going to either turn the economy around or stabilize it. I do worry about one part, that if people get these checks, you know, $1,000, $1,200, $3,000 for a family of four, that they're going to use just the bare minimum of that to pay what they have to have, and they're going to squeeze the rest of it, hold on to it, put it under the mattress.
Yeah, I think so. That's certainly a fear, because look at all the other, everything else that the government's doing. You're delaying payments on student loans, delaying tax payments, even in some places putting postponing rent payments and mortgages. If that, you know, you see that as a trend. So I think it's certainly a concern, but I guess the idea here is, let's hope that you don't need it beyond that, and then this whole discussion will be moot. This seems to be the, you know, there's like a weird ideological divide right now in how this is being handled. If you're on the right, you tend to want to get things back up and running as soon as possible, and, you know, even if the far right sort of treats this like, well, the flu is worse. Well, on the left, if you have that same philosophy that you want to get things back up and running, you're some kind of a water carrier for Wall Street, just caring about stock prices. You see what I'm saying there?
Yep.
Anyway, but I think the country generally center right, to me, thinks that, you know, inevitably, sooner rather than later, we're going to get maybe not fully back to normal, but maybe gradually over time, you'll be able to open things back up. And that seems to be the political philosophy driving at least some of this right now.
Okay. So, and you know, one of my thoughts on taking care of small business through a small business loan or whatever package is there, that's going to be beneficial to do exactly what you said. If you keep those people on payroll, keep those businesses intact, keep people out of the unemployment rolls, when things turn around, the turnaround will be faster. People will be in a position to be ready to go more quickly.
Yeah, I think so. That's the hope, at least, right? That'll happen. Something I've noticed, this is a phenomenon I think is really important to point out. It's the small businesses, as you just said, that are taking a little bit of the hit, taking it on the chin, right?
We always do.
But look at who's hiring up right now. Look at the Walmarts, Amazon.
CVS,
Is the consequence, one of the consequences of this possibly being that small businesses, once again, are going to, you know, just by the nature of the economy, are going to be the ones to benefit out of this because they can weather a storm as such as a coronavirus pandemic, and a small business not necessarily can. So the economic might or the economic benefit in the long run, not in the short term, it's going to favor the big corporations and hurt the small businesses as things consolidate in that direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For several reasons. Number one, obviously, with small business, we employ more people than any other sector in the country, but we're balkanized. There's no singular voice in Washington. I mean, you have Small Business Administration, you have groups, but I mean, there's so many different kinds of business. To get a small business to agree on everything would be about impossible. Then the other part of this, like you said, those companies have deeper pockets, the medium and large companies, to weather this and hire away the people like you're talking about. And there may be a shift that has been coming for a while, but you know, whenever there's a crisis, it seems to advance the beachhead further in one way or another. And I think you may be onto something. I know a discussion last night, I think it was on Tucker Carlson's show, they're talking about the impacts to the middle class from this. It could really shrink the middle class. And I would argue that part of that is reducing the number of opportunities for small business. That's how a lot of people, are in the middle class. They've done something on their own. They've risked capital, and now they have a living that is not, not big wealth, but it definitely puts them strongly in the middle class. That's part of the American dream.
Yeah, and Tucker Carlson, my boss, was pointing out in that monologue, you do away with the middle class, you're a very top-heavy society. Well, let's just say the poor are still going to be poor in this country,
mm-hmm.
and the rich are still going to be rich. They'll get through this. You eliminate the middle class, which is kind of potentially one of the products of this, where they can't have, you know, the service industry jobs or things that require us to be out and about society, then that is the recipe for a lot of political upheaval. That you see, this has been the case throughout world history. We have a very top-heavy society. Then it becomes, the turmoil, the upheaval. Sometimes, luckily for us, it's usually, traditionally, has been in elections when you eliminate the middle class. But in a lot of parts of the world, that's a recipe for revolution and all kinds of bad stuff.
Well, I think it's a good thing that they agreed last night on this spending package, but it still has to make it through the House. They're going to try to do this via unanimous consent so they don't have to bring everybody in. But, I mean, we're talking 435 members here, Jeff. Do you think, when was the last time they voted unanimously on anything? You think there's still a chance that this gets held up for a while?
No, I'm told that won't be a concern, that this is essentially what they have done with this bill that the Senate has gotten. The players involved are the leadership in the House and the leadership in the Senate. But the Kevin McCarthy and Nancy Pelosi have been involved in this process in the Senate as well, that Chuck Schumer wasn't going to vote for something that Pelosi wasn't for. And same with McCarthy and the Republicans with McConnell. We saw a little bit of that over the weekend when all of a sudden Nancy Pelosi shows up at the 11th hour and says no. And then she throws out her proposal with all kinds of poison pills. But that was a sign, as it turned out, no one maybe didn't see this at the time, but that was a sign that Pelosi was involved, and that's why I think you'll see this get through the House of Representatives.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poore. Talk about more of the Washington situation, then back here at home in Alabama. You heard on the municipal front, Finance Director Paul Wesch yesterday talk about the projections, reduced revenues for the city of Mobile, as is true for the state. What are we going to do about the budgets going forward? We'll talk about that with Jeff when we return right here on Mobile Mornings. Right, 822 FM Talk, 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Hey, we're talking census in about 10 minutes here. And the importance of filling out the census as we fight this battle to retain our 7 congressional districts here in the state of Alabama. We'll talk about that more. Actually, I'd like to get my buddy Jeff Poore's take on that as well. I know there's a lot going on here in the coronavirus COVID-19 discussion, but that also could work its way into the census that's on now.
Perhaps an older population. So some of these places with older population you would have to look at. Not knowing the demographics off the top of my head, but just kind of anecdotally, is Florida threatened by this? But we haven't had that many deaths in the United States, I think, for it to make a difference. Maybe it bends the curve in the next census, but is it going to happen fast enough over the next year for it to matter? That might be a bit of a stretch.
Well, I was thinking, I'm not thinking about physically less people, but will it have people like somebody doesn't fill out their census card, then the census worker goes to the house. Will they be going to the house, or will that be an issue for social distancing or any of those things? I just worry about, I think the stats are in the low 70% that Alabamians filled out the last census. And as we're, as we can argue about the citizenship question not being on the census and states like Texas and California, their gains, we better do our part, though. And I mean, if we want even a shot at this, we need to fill these things out. We need to be represented, accurately.
I would say the Alabama, more than any other state right now, is got the campaign. You go with the electronic billboards around the state, the ALDOT ones, you see fill out your census. The governor's talking about it. They've put in the work more than I think maybe almost any other state to get people to fill out the census. Will that pay dividends in the long run? It's got to. People will, I think, It was Chris Pringle, the gentleman down your way, mm-hmm. state representative, says you only need to push up the participation level by a handful of percentage points to hold on to that 7th seat. I don't know that coronavirus does one way or another, but I think it might favor Alabama in that regard, because think about it this way. If everybody proportionately is impacted by coronavirus, you got to have people in the more populated states, particularly the states that are probably hit a little more harder with this, California being one of them, is going to have a lower participation rate. Even if you mm-hmm. if you have some fall off in Alabama, you're not going to have as much fall off in a bigger state where this is more of a threat, Washington State, New York, et cetera. And to me, that benefits overall the state of Alabama.
That's a good take on it, because I want people to realize too, as we talk about those signs out there, just stop for a second. This is not, because a lot of people react to, they want me to fill out the census, this is big government, take it. Y'all get off the idealism for a second. Let's just go pragmatic here. And it's an issue for funding into our state, and most importantly, it's an issue of our voice, our representative voice in Washington. So this is a game here, y'all, and you got to play it the right way. So just wanted to point that out. All right, let's talk about state news here, because I was thinking about a conversation that happened yesterday at Mobile City Council meeting with Finance Director Paul Wesch, projecting the losses in revenue from sales tax, right? I mean, Mobile sales tax driven, as is the state of Alabama. The heck are they going to do in Montgomery with this budget? I mean, the projections up there have to be diminished as the same or more than the municipal level.
Yeah, but you know, I guess, well, first of all, we Washington, D.C., they can just print the money,
that's
right?
That's right, yes.
So consider that, you know, maybe not as big of an impact, but certainly in the state of Alabama, they got to rethink the budgets. And I've heard mixed discussions about what that's going to do, how that's going to play out in Montgomery. That will the governor have to come back with a special session to get this done by statute? The session can only go on so long, and right now you're not going to fit it all into the window. And that seems to be the discussion right now. When can this happen? When could they get back to even begin the discussions about that?
Well, okay. And does it, you know, it's always the end of session thing doing the budget. But if this now is in the form of a special, and let's put this, because I don't know when this ends, but let's say they're in a special session in August or September facing the new fiscal year, the end of this fiscal year. The pressure is going to be ramped up beyond. I mean, they've got to get it done. They have to absolutely get it done.
Yeah, and well, they will. They will get it done. Watt takes the hit, I guess.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So
we know there was talk. We talked about record education budget. Not going to happen this time. Pay raise is probably not going to happen this time.
Okay.
But my friend Sean Ross, you'll have news sometimes you have him on. I think he thinks that gaming all of a sudden is going to be the cure-all. The last time it was the BP oil spill. This time, to find that extra cash to make the ends meet, we're going to hear about a compact with the Poarch Creek Indians.
There you go. And that's what I was hoping you would get into, because the state has been run budget wise by, you know, so many years, so many fiscal years. We find the proverbial, you know, $20 bill in the jacket pocket we forgot about, and it somehow bails us out at the last minute. And I got to imagine now, you know, they weren't giving as much credence to gaming because they were flush with regular revenue. They could sit back and make a decision. But if they are in a special session, it's August or September, God forbid, there's going to be a hue and cry for, we can't do this without this deal, without this compact.
Yeah, well, suddenly the Poarch Creek Indians have a good bargaining position.
Huge.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know that the legislature, it's going to be an ugly battle. I don't know that even the gambling proponents in Montgomery are going to go along with a monopoly type compact. They're going to have to carve something out for the legacy dog track casino. Would be a one-time lump sum kind of cash payment,
right,
or
they be
payments
bought
over time,
yep.
Or
so you're thinking a buyout, but you're on that that you think it might be a buyout.
I think they got to do some kind of concession, and that's from what I'm hearing is it could be part of it. And there's some other things that have been rumored about the way it'd be administered, and be handled by the Poarch Creek at no expense to the state. So yeah, but I do think you're going to have to do something for Green Track and Victory Land.
It's going to be interesting to watch this go on. Jeff, as always, we appreciate our time with you. If people want to reach out to you, I mean, even though you're in the quarantine to the home studios, you can interact online. How do they find you?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me on, Chubb.
Always good. And so what Jeff said there is something that y'all take that as your nugget for today. Looking forward, Jeff's bringing you something that's pretty interesting. I keep harping on the budgets, right? And I've had several people on, had State Senator Chris Elliott on the most recently talking about the budgets. And that is the question. If we're in a real pickle there, how much more appetite is there for this compact with the Poarch Creeks if they can't figure out how to not cut a whole bunch and also balance the budget? Keep your eyes on that one. All right, we'll talk census when we get back right here on Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Louie Arata at McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Hey, we're doing great here at FM Talk. Tell us, what kind of great deals can we get at McConnell Automotive?
0% for 84 months.
Ooh.
We got, I mean, that's just, that is just a, that's a deal right there. That is a deal, deal, deal. And don't forget, just check us out online if you don't feel comfortable coming in. Of course, we're cleaning up everything every day, and got a guy walking around with spray bottles and trying to keep everything healthy. And but just check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Give us a call. We'll come pick up your trade, get it appraised. I mean, just we'll do anything we can just to sell a car and make you feel comfortable about it. So just give us a call at 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, and time to check in with our guest, Deborah Kennedy, president of the National Coalition for Literacy. And now it's not just me harping on the census and the importance to our state, like I've been doing for, well, years now. I have somebody who actually has a title who's going to back me up on this. Deborah Kennedy joins us now. Hey, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me on the program. And, yeah, I'm happy to back you up on completing the census. It's an important thing to do.
It is, and we'll talk a bit about whether COVID-19 threat, the fight of coronavirus will affect it. But first of all, talk about what the history was 10 years ago with our filling out of the census and what this means. I've been harping on this loss of a congressional seat, but explain this.
Well, if you think about the fact that the House of Representatives in the U.S. Congress has 435 seats, and it's always going to have 435 seats. Those have to get divided up among the states, and they do that by state population. So when you report, when you respond to the invitation to complete the census, that tells the government how many people are in your state. And if your population reports low, you might lose representation. And if your population grows and everybody reports, then you might gain representation.
Yeah, and we have issues of what's happening in growth in other states and how things will
right.
be counted, but we can only deal right now with what we do here at home. And wasn't it 10 years ago, wasn't it down in the 70% range that filled out the census?
It was between 70 and 80% that completed it. There are what the Census Bureau calls hard-to-count populations that they have trouble reaching, and those are rural populations, folks who are members of minorities, folks with low levels of income and low educational attainment, people who really benefit the most by filling out the census, because
yep.
that makes sure that they receive federal benefits, federal funding for programs.
Yeah, I wish, you know, part of the discussion is our voice in Washington and the representation already with a small number of congressional seats at 7. Obviously, the diminishment is a big deal and the redrawing of districts here for 6. But you just mentioned it, too. It means that this should be nonpartisan in our state. This means a big loss of money, federal money coming to Alabama.
Well, that's exactly right. And Alabama right now, looking at, there's a map where you can see in real time what the response rate is. And actually, Alabama's doing pretty well, 25.1% response rate as of yesterday evening, which is pretty good. Alabama's rate in 2010, the total rate was 62.5%. So you lost something that you could have gotten there because you all didn't respond to the census. But it does make a difference in terms of what you receive for education, for transportation and roads, for health and hospitals, for food programs, rental assistance programs like Section 8, all of those depend on census data.
If people will say, well, we know the population of Alabama, the state has the statistics, but I keep harping on this, Deborah, that the federal government does not care. If you do not show up in the census, you don't exist in their numbers.
Well, that's right. The Census Bureau is the data that the federal government uses to make these determinations. And actually, the state works with the Census Bureau on that, and they check numbers against each other. All the states do. But the federal numbers, the Census Bureau numbers, are the official numbers for federal funding.
I'm talking with Deborah Kennedy, president of the National Coalition for Literacy. Tell me about, I saw this, the MALDEF, the MALDEF group, and their lawsuit. What is this?
Is that the lawsuit about the citizenship question?
Right. It was the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund filing that lawsuit against Alabama Department of Commerce.
Oh, okay. I don't know the details on that. I'm sorry. There were lawsuits filed last summer when the Census Bureau talked about adding a citizenship question
right.
to the census. There is no citizenship question on the census.
Yeah, I've talked to the Attorney General about this and his lawsuit many times, but that's it's too little, too late, right? It's not going to affect this census.
Right, that's right. This census is underway. It does not include a citizenship question. So it does include questions about race and ethnicity, and those can be a little tricky for some folks to respond to. But do the best you can.
Yeah, fill it out so we're represented. Mm-hmm. Also, exactly. Are you, from your perspective here, is the coronavirus crisis going to make an issue? Will people fill out more or less because of this?
I think what it really does is, first of all, it encourages people to respond to the invitation themselves, either by filling out the form online at my2020census.gov, or you can call in and respond on the phone. Number is 844-330-2020. Call in, and a person on the other end of the line will help you fill out your form, take your information for you, so you don't have to worry about paper or being online to do that. The thing that will really be affected by coronavirus is the in-person interaction. They do have a mobile questionnaire assistance program where folks are available in public places to help people fill out the census form, and they've deferred starting that until later this spring. They were going to start this week, but they have deferred starting that until April because of the coronavirus. And then the going around and knocking on people's doors. If people haven't responded to the census, then someone from the Bureau will come knock on your door to ask you to respond, and they've deferred starting that as well.
When's the deadline on the census?
The deadline for completing it, the original deadline was July 31st, and they've just moved it back to August 14th.
All right. We'll talk to you again before then. Deborah Kennedy, President of the National Coalition for Literacy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. And there you go. So there's some of the questions surrounding this. I know I've been a broken record on this, but y'all, it should be nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. You can look at it as federal funding questions for state programs. That's a big deal. And our voice in Washington, you know, and what does it mean, too, if we've got to redraw the districts?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a mess as well. I mean, let's not even get there. Let's keep our representation. Listen, I can go back to the arguments I've had, the conversations I've had with the Attorney General over the years here on this. It's wrong what's happening with this citizenship question, in my opinion. It's wrong not having it on there because you apportion representation of citizens, not of just people. But that's not there, so you got to pragmatically fight it right now and make sure we have 100% Alabamians filling out the census.
Got to fight for every dollar we can get.
That's true. Coming right back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. I'm Sean and Dalton, glad to have you along. Dr. Bill, Kane, the whole gang, and a little preview of today's show, a midday Mobile show, coming up as the leadoff batter, Congressman Bradley Byrne. I talk with him about the COVID-19 response, also the bill that looks like, you know, they've agreed on. We'll hopefully have the votes and talk about what it means for folks right here at home. You know, they have the individual checks portion. Of course, I'm focused also on the small business side and what that means for keeping people in their jobs and hopefully having this flattening the curve. You know, nobody has talked about this, and I think the president missed a chance here. We're flattening the curve one way, right, with the social distancing and quarantine, trying to flatten the COVID-19 outbreak curve, lower it down so we don't overtake hospitals
right.
and all those issues. On the other side, we need to flatten it for its curve down
mm-hmm.
on the economic side. And we'll see. Wall Street responded quite well yesterday to the agreement on this deal because what investor doesn't love $2 trillion in extra spending going in, deficit spending going in the system? But it's one of these things that they, I think Wall Street believes the economy will come back. It was down in pre-trading today, but it's come back up over the opening of the market. So we'll watch that, see how much, how long Wall Street takes to digest that $2 trillion.
You know, something I've heard from a lot of people when we talk about flattening the curve, I'll see some people, you know, pleading with others. They'll say, flatten the curve so we can get this over with as fast as possible. And, I agree. We don't want hospitals overtaken, obviously, but mm-hmm. that's not what flattening the curve does. It doesn't get it over with as fast as possible. You're stretching out how long you take an economic hit, which is obviously the balance beam that they're weighing right now in Washington. But I do.
But you don't take the big drop. So, you know, if you flatten the curve, you know, we're using it the other way with the economy, you don't have so many people unemployed and right. such a large dip. You flatten that out, you know.
Yeah, but specifically with coronavirus, I've heard people say flattening the curve will get this over with faster, which is the opposite of what flattening. I've heard that from a lot of people.
Right, right. This is, and you're right, this is a good point to make here, because I guess full quarantine of everybody would make it get over the fastest. Right? I mean, just nobody leaving anywhere.
Which is completely impossible.
It's completely impossible. So now let's go on to realistic things. And exactly what you said, it will make it not so acute mm-hmm. of a spike, which could overcome and overwhelm the hospitals like happened in Italy. It doesn't mean people won't get it. It means not everybody gets it at the same time.
Right.
That's the flattened curve, so those hospitals don't run out of beds, don't run out of ventilators, don't run out of these things.
And right now, America, you can argue about when it should have started, but putting forth a heroic effort from individuals all the way up to big corporations to make ventilators, produce masks, get these ships ready with extra hospital beds. So if we can flatten the curve until we've got enough medical assistance in place, that would be best.
By the way, we'll talk more about this coming up in just a little bit. And reminder that right here at home, USA Children's and Women's Hospital, speaking of hospitals, needs that help with those N95 masks. So once again, check the shop, check the garage, mm-hmm. wherever you keep that kind of stuff. If you have N95 or higher, so and there's an N99 mask, and maybe those donations are well appreciated for USA Children's and Women's Hospital. Charles says, I ain't filled mine out because I ain't got no computer on the census. Well, you don't have to do it online. You got the card thing, and you also have the phone number.
Yeah, you can call.
Charles, man, we need you. We need you, Charles. We need you. Once again, this should be nonpartisan. You could look at it from different ways. You pick your way to look at it. And say it's important. You know, you would say, oh, well, there'll be some Democrats that say, well, I don't want to keep, you know, if we have the congressional districts like it is, we only have one Democrat congressional district, but it means funding for the state as well. And if mm-hmm. you believe in the social programs that go along with that, you should be, there's no reason for us not to at least compete, as we still may lose. We still may lose.
Hope not.
But we've got to try to keep this congressional seat. It is a huge, huge thing.
Believe it or not, this will be the first census that I have the joy of filling out, you know, only every 10 years. And last time we had a census, I was 18. So I was...
You weren't the head of a household.
I was not the head of a household. And, you know, I was going to throw this census party. Now, that plan is out the window. I don't know if anyone would have shown up for the census party.
How do you throw a census party? What do you do at the census party?
Yeah, fill out your census.
And then what?
Then you drink.
Okay. But in that order, census first, then the drinking.
Maybe a little bit of drinking before, during, and after.
How many people in your household? Oh, 16. All right, to the phones at 343-0106. David in Mobile, first up.
Hey, Sean. Speaking of hospital ships, we may want to rethink diverting money from hospital to the border wall, because that money that they took that ship from was actually a hospital ship. So,
what are you talking about?
You remember a couple of months back when they diverted the Department of Defense diverted money from Austell to for a ship to the border wall. That ship that they were built, that they were going to use that money to build, was going to be a hospital ship.
So a hospital catamaran, that coolest, yeah. The fastest hospital around. That's urgent yeah. care. That is urgent. That's the definition of urgent care, when you have a lightweight and fast hospital. I like that. Get you back yeah. home soon.
And speaking of census, I have a challenge to your friend Dr. Liu and Jim Ziegler, because if they truly are no tollers, they need to get behind the effort to push everybody to fill out the census, because your last guest just said it, transportation funding from the federal level goes in, you know, is dependent upon the census. So if we want no tolls, everybody that doesn't want a toll will need to step up and fill out their census, because that's how we're going to get more federal money for our bridge.
You can find, and you know, look at Scotty on the text line said, well, heck, I never thought about the party angle for the census. Took about a minute to complete. You know, you can come at this. You pick your politics if you want to make it. Pick your politics, and I'll give you a reason why you should fill out the census.
Exactly. And for the first time in my adult life, and I've been eligible to fill out the census for two censuses now, this will be my third, actually. For the first time in my adult life, I actually filled out the census, because I don't want my congressman going to California or Texas.
There you go. Well said. And that's what it is. We apportion representation in our system, and you've got to get every voice you can in Washington. Of course, that's why I still continue to talk about how important the Senate is. Mm-hmm. Senate, where we have equal footing, and they're the genius of the founders, lets a smaller population state like Alabama have even standing in that body in the Senate. But in the House, it's a numbers game, y'all.
Yeah.
And this is a reason we've been harping on this for years. This texter says, I've only gotten letters directing me to a website. I went, but they wanted me to answer a pile of questions. I only want them to count my household, not play 100 questions. I guess I'll get the card soon. All right. I went through this 10 years ago during the census on this station, because it was like in the first year of this, first year and a half of this station, we had the last census of this format. And I'll tread lightly here, because there's legality here.
Okay.
So I would say you should look, there are certain questions you absolutely have to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Number
by the
in the
founders.
Household.
Yes. Those things. There's a bunch of additional questions that come with this. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Were they like BuzzFeed quiz kind of questions?
Sort of like a Cosmopolitan magazine. You might be a great boyfriend if, you know, whatever. There are some extra questions there that go beyond you will be registered as a citizen of Alabama without page two kind of stuff.
Okay.
I will tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do, so I don't get myself in a pickle like I did a decade ago. I will. I'll look through what I'm allowed to caution you on, and whatever. You can do the whole thing. That's cool if you want to do that, and you want to be asked the questions just the same way. There are some people out there, I guess, that fill out that little card that comes with your electronic equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your warranty card,
right?
Race or ethnicity, favorite hobbies.
Yeah, I never.
What's your favorite Bon Jovi song?
I just hold on to them. I never fill them out.
But you keep them.
I never throw them away. Yeah, I don't know why.
You're a hoarder. That's why. So, but they're, you know what? So you don't have to go play 100 questions. I'll leave it at that. But you do need to fill out the first part and the number of people in the household. Maybe even saying that, I got myself in trouble.
You might have.
Wouldn't be the first time. Fill out the dang census. Get our people counted in this state. This is real deal stuff. Real deal. All right, there's a bunch of other states that would love to have that congressional seat leaving here and going to them. Let's not let them take it. All right, Mike Gallagher shows on next. We'll be back in 3 for Midday Mobile. First guest in the noon hour, Congressman Bradley Byrne. That would be AL1.